Blog Talk Radio.
Drum, please.
Slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm, just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past, adjust the bass and let the alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme, and put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. Out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly, we be out in the park. A place called the Plateau is where everybody goes. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise. Honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turn around to see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad, I compose this rhyme to hit you and to get you equipped for the summertime. Short set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair, cause basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hop in the water plug, just for old time's sake. Break to your crib, change your clothes once more, cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4. Sitting with your friends, as y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kissed. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch, while the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock rolls around, you just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout. It looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop, a fly from the beauty salon. Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spend all day waxin', leanin' to the side, but you can't speed through 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.
It's Green Talk Live and More.
On It's Real Talk Radio with the Chef.
I'm Chef Moses.
And I'm Chef Rivera. Welcome to our
Five shows. And I think we should be clapping when it gets to, like, the 500 show. The 500 mile, not even the 100. tonight we're going to be discussing about water, the water that we drink, the water that we bathe in, the water that we frolic around, and everything else what we do with water. There's so many things that we do with water that are not reported. All we know about water is that we drink it, we cook with it,
and bathe.
There are other things water is being used for and with that is actually highly contaminating the water that we are drinking. I don't know.
Where do we begin?
Where do we begin? But I'm going to say this before we begin. What's so funny is, when you look at life in general and you ask certain questions about, if something was to happen, what would you do? And, you know, in a cause of emergency, what would you do? And all of these things. Water and food is a lot of the times it's not really mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so funny is that water and food are the basic elements that we need to survive if push comes to shove with anything. Food and water is a real necessity. Because of modern day times and our lives that we live, water is not on the priority list. Not to a lot of the masses. Water is really, really not that important to a large degree. But water makes all of the juices that people ingest and they take. Water is your body is. We are made up of 90% water.
Yep.
So again, water really is important. We just don't. We're not in a state of emergency where people can understand the depth and the magnitude of what I'm talking about. But just to let you know, contamination in our water supply is a real thing. It's it really is. Even before this talk show or any of these things, our water supply in America has been
attacked.
Compromised to a large degree. We have parasites and all type of algae and different growths and new growths of algae that have been all types of microorganisms that have been actually living and thriving in the sewer systems. And, there was a scientist that actually, a team of scientists that went into upstate New York because here in New York, our water comes from upstate in massive pipes, these massive tunnels that water is being, and aquifers that are on along the route to New York City. A lot of these tunnels, some of them are consumed and filled with algae and all types of microbiological organisms that are parasitical and they're dangerous and they're deadly. That's just on that end. That's not talking about the water that's contaminated through the water table, all of the surface water, all of the fresh water that we drink, the most of the fresh water that we drink is actually from streams, rivers, and these things like that. Water facilities, but we have aquifers and all types of other places that we get our water from. But this is just some of the waste that is coming into our water. The dry cleaners, the gases, the gas stations, septic tanks, toxic waste sites, and farms. Farms that use chemicals. All farms do not use pesticides and chemicals, but they are releasing chemicals from the pesticides on infectious agents that can contaminate, some of these things can contaminate household drinking water. Fortunately, with a little research and proper testing and treatment, if necessary, because now check this out, it's not mandated and mandatory in the United States that all of the drinking water is checked. Yes, mm-hmm. you heard me correctly. All states have regulations on drinking water, but in certain rural areas and things of that nature, there's testing, but they are actually testing done not on the regular, but I guess with irregularity, but it gets tested, and some places don't get tested for their water. So
mm-hmm.
that's what it is, and that's the truth. That's facts right there. So, but, you know, the water that you and your family and our community is drinking, whether we're here in New York, just across the country in general, there are vast contaminations, vast bodies of water that are contaminated. And, you know, again, it is all of our jobs to hold our elected officials accountable for these health violations. These are things that, you know, children can get diarrhea, all types of things.
Grown-ups too,
but we could turn into a third world country overnight with the parasites and stuff that's in the water, though. But although most of the drinking water in the United States is supposedly safe, you know, you and I should be aware of the possibilities of water contaminating problems. Where you live, you know, pollution can seep into groundwater and streams and eventually find its way into drinking water. What they call so-called wildcat sewers, systems that collect wastewater containing dangerous bacteria and parasites, and it's discharged without treatment and can also be put into drinking water sources. It can be, you know, it can put drinking water sources at risk. So, you know, like I said, we as consumers need to start testing our water, getting test kits and testing our water.
Right.
Certain test kits, I mean, they're attainable. Kits that have a very broad spectrum of testing for toxicities, heavy metals, pharmaceutical drugs, all of these things. So, you know, it's something that when you say like a test kit, people say, oh, my God, it's so expensive to test water and this, that, and the other. Well, you know, at least if you get a smaller test kit that costs a couple of $100,
mm-hmm.
at least you'll know exactly what you're drinking. And my suggestion, because we've done a lot of research in this area, my suggestion to you would get a water treatment system in your house. And I think we use Kangen water. So I'd like to shout out, big up to Kangen water. If you don't know about Kangen water, you shall know. In the second half of our program, we'll be talking about Kangen water a little bit, just to bring you up to speed, our listeners. And but like I was saying, it's imperative that, you know, not for yourself, for your family, for your children's safety, for your wife's safety, for her mother's safety, because the mother's living with you. I don't know how some people feel. Some people might check for everybody else but the mother-in-law, but still, she's living in the house, so get that kit so you can check to see if that water is deadly. It really is a serious issue that's going on right now as far as water contamination in the United States. We really need to seriously take these things. There's so many, you know, every week I'm coming on talking about we need to take something serious. But these are things that to bring everybody up to speed, we need to really seriously take into account. Excuse me. These are things we really need to take into account. So every week, yes, I'm going to come up there and I'm going to tell you that things are serious and we need
to. Getting more serious.
And it's getting more serious. So no, it's no time for you to pick and choose what you want to, you know, what you want to take serious and what you don't want to take serious.
It's a collective now.
Now it's a collective, and now you have more. It's more on the table now. It's more on the plate. So now you're just going to have to, you know, you're going to have to bring it up to speed, so to speak. So this is our, if we can do it, everybody can do it without question. So to try to change our lifestyles and to actually, like I said, water is important. If you own a home, I would suggest that you buy yourself a Kangen water system. And if you do not own a home and you rent, I would suggest that you buy the smaller Kangen water system. You know, there's nothing else. We'll get into the Kangen water in the second half of the show, but like I was saying to you before, pollution can seep into the groundwater system and eventually find its way into drinking water. There's all types of bacteria and parasites that are discharged and without treatment. We can also be drinking the water that is coming from this direct source. But there's some simple steps that, you know, you can keep, that'll keep your family's drinking water safe. This is something that could keep us all safe if we all practiced it. Don't pour toxins down the drain. You know, harmful chemicals, strong detergents, oils, they all find their way into the drain and into our drinking water sources. But it's easy to say, but, you know, we use these chemicals to clean the sink after we finish cooking, food scraps in the sink and oil residue and all of these things. So, like I said, the thing is to be aware and not try to put as many chemicals into the sink as, you know, that's kind of, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but if that's the case, then use chemicals that are more green as opposed to heavy in metals and toxins. You know, it's good to get your drinking water tested. It's a very good thing to get the water that comes out of your faucet, that runs through your home, that comes out of your faucet, it needs to be tested. Also, a lot of people are not aware of this, though, but your local water utilities, actually they're required to mail this report. It's actually known as a consumer confidence or right to know report.
Right.
And you can request a copy at any time, or, you know, you can look for a report on your water on the utility's website. The utility should have a website where they should post their findings for the water that they were testing, all of the water that's tested. So, again, it should be on a website, or you can go to reach out to your local utility company and get a report on the water. I would suggest going to the website first, and if you can't get the information on the website, I would contact them and ask them to please post it and to keep every sample that they take to post every time that they put a sample, so that this way you can hold the utility company accountable, and it has to be enough of us to do this. So it really is, I think it really is important for your health and for your family's health. I would say use water filters and all that, but I was just saying before about maybe changing your whole water system, getting some type of treatment into your house. I want to let you know that, well, of course you do know that there are, you know, different types of contaminants and carcinogens and all types of PBCs and all types of hallucinogenics. You know, as a matter of fact, I was talking to a doctor about a week ago, and this is one of the reasons that prompted us to it was lingering to do this show like this pertaining to water and what's in it. He made me think about something that's, you know, that's kind of true. All over America, there are hundreds of thousands of us there are millions of us that are on prescription drugs, pharmaceutical drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, between people tossing their pills in the toilet and in the sink, the garbage disposal, and let's not forget about all of the drug busts that go on in the United States that eventually gets flushed down the toilet. The meth labs that you know, all of these things. He said, now can you imagine, maybe not at one time, but at certain times there are hundreds of thousands of grams or liquids, milliliters, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, that are being poured and flushed down the toilet. That's just pharmaceutical. That's not talking about that's not talking about the janitors that clean out all of the toilet bowls and all of the buildings in New York City whenever they do this, and the chemicals that they're using.
Right.
So now think about that on a bigger scale, on a larger scale. That's not including the waste that goes in the toilet, but all of these other things, these other little nuances that are happening, that they all build up. Now let's flash back.
Right.
Let's flash back to 60 years. Can you imagine the accumulation of everything that I just spoke about from 60 years up until now? That's just 60 years. We go back a little bit further. And that's not including the chemical companies and pharmaceutical companies that are making these things and the smoldering, the big industries that are making steel and all of these things and the waste byproducts that they are coming from our streams that are supposed to be for our clean drinking water that are passing by and going underground and all of these things, and they eventually find they work their ways into our waterways, into our drinking water.
Right.
So now again, on a small scale, every day there are large amounts and large vast quantities of prescription drugs, heavy toxins, chemicals, heavy metals, all going into the system, into our drinking water. So that was just a little something to wake you up, to let you know how it goes down the rabbit hole, how big the magnitude of what I'm speaking about. It really concerns you. And, you know, we can, again, one of two things. We can either sit back and do nothing, or we can hold dialogue, be aware, have information to make the necessary steps and plan and take the necessary steps. If you can't do it on a broad scale, everybody can't help the world, but we all can help the world together, cohesively.
Right.
If you can't save the world, try to do something to save yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anyone in the chat room, I definitely would like to hear.
We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you and any questions that you might have pertaining to
what we're talking about.
What we're talking about. You know, if you are worried about contamination in your drinking water, you know, again, you know, have your water tested by a laboratory, you know. If you have a private well, you are responsible for testing the water annually. Testing is recommended in small amounts at a time. Contamination might be found in your water, but it doesn't necessarily pose a health risk. any contamination that is in my water, I don't want it. I do not want it at all. So, you know, I want to have the, I want to have the right to to be able to say what it is and what I want to do and what I will not want to do. But this is a description of what is, you know, what is pesticides, because people actually, these were some questions that were posed to some of our listeners actually here in New York, and this is they wanted this is what they wanted to know. So this is these are my answers to some of those questions. And again, what I was asked, what Chef Moses, what are pesticides? And pesticides, some pesticides, they're chemicals that are used to control pests. Mm-hmm. So a pest can be an insect, a weed, bacteria, mm-hmm. fungus, rodent, or fish. Yes, fish can be pests.
Right.
Or any other troublesome organism. Pesticide manufacturers, they develop most pesticides, although some occur naturally in the environment. Pesticide control one or more specific pests around homes in agricultural areas or public land.
Mm-hmm.
So, the next question that was asked, where does our drinking water come from? So, drinking water, it's actually surface water and groundwater, lakes and rivers, they are bodies of fresh surface water that provides drinking water in certain areas of our country. Reservoirs are constructed artificially. They are artificial lakes that also hold water. Groundwater is another source of fresh water. Aquifers are underground areas that can be tapped to provide fresh water.
Uh-huh.
Water slowly flows through an aquifer like an underground river. So that I hope I answered. That was Pat. I hope I answered it. I hope I answered that question for you, Pat. Now, how can pesticides get into our drinking water? There are a number of different ways that pesticides can get into our water, but
mm-hmm.
pesticides that are applied correctly, they may wash away from the application site.
Mm-hmm.
Rain falling on a treated area before the pesticide binds or degrades may carry the pesticide to surface water sources. Like, okay, perfect example. Say we're in the city. Someone is using a chemical to get rid of mites or bugs. Some gardeners do use them. A lot of gardeners don't. They try to stay away from it, but there still are some gardeners that use pesticides. So what would happen is that they would spray, and if the rain fell, what would happen is that it would actually, that rainwater, along with the pesticide that was sprayed on the plant, would actually flow into, hit the ground, puddle up, and probably move into the sewer. If it didn't move into the sewer, what would happen is that it would go through the ground and seep below the water table.
Right.
So then it would stay inside the water table. But it would be diluted, but it depends on the amount of pesticide that was sprayed. So regardless, pesticides are no good and they should not be used at all. But pesticides can seep into the ground through soil, you know, during recharge of groundwater, and it can actually get into aquifers.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, pesticides are sometimes applied directly to lakes or wetlands to control aquatic weeds, insects, or fish. Actually, a lot of the times it's done for mosquitoes and, you know, a lot of this West Nile virus and these things. But this is, again, these pesticides are being sprayed on our wetlands, marshes, and stuff like that. But the thing is that the wetland and the marsh is actually a filter. It's actually a biological filter, a living filter. So if you contaminate the living filter, groundwater and all types of, you're just going to rain down pesticide candy. It's just Monsanto's wet dream. That's what it is. There's no other way to explain it. Some pesticides can move in air from the apical site, the application site, to surface water used in drinking water systems. It's not a win-win situation.
No.
When a pesticide is spilled, dumped, or misused, the chances of it reaching drinking water is greater than labeled uses. Pesticides can get into drinking water when homeowners illegally dump unused pesticides down the drain for instructions on proper disposal of pesticides. You know, you can contact your state environmental department or corporate extension office, the corporate extension office, pertaining to poisons and pesticides. But here's a no-brainer for you. Don't buy the pesticides. Do not buy them at all. That alleviates all of the foolishness and the nonsense. Because honestly, one of the ways they used to show you how to, when you got pesticides and chemicals and stuff like that, what they used to do is tell you to, well, you open up the lid and you clean out the pesticide, you clean out the bottle really good with some hot water or some mild soap, you know, to get everything out. But my thing is that chemical is still in there.
Yep.
It really truly is.
It's just not filtered?
It's not. It's stuck to the plastic. It's embedded in the plastic. The plastic is contaminated, too. So, like I said, do not buy pesticides, chemicals. I know some of these chemicals help with your growing and make your flowers beautiful and make your vegetables beautiful. But, again,
the aftermath is not conducive to the environment that you're living in.
You are killing yourself and your family. That's what you're doing. There's no other way to explain it so that you get the point and get the picture. Stop buying these chemicals.
If you go on the internet, you can definitely find chemical-free, pesticide-free bug sprays and things that will help your plants grow, especially vegetables that are certified organic, which is conducive to the environment that you're in. And it'll just help. It's a win-win situation when you grow organic and use organic, you know, pesticides that were made with natural products, herbicides that were made naturally with the environment in mind, as opposed to getting those things that, you know, really make things look really nice, but then there's an aftermath to it that you won't be able to sustain health-wise.
Well, I don't know. I'm the type of person that, you know, certain things, everything that I hear that is going on, if it's not the water, if it's not Japan, if it ain't, you know, whatever. The whole thing is that it really bothers me and it really gets to me. We are, all of us are adults. A lot of us, I know, a lot of us are older, but just because we're older doesn't mean we're adults. Some of us are still children in the mind. The thing is that we really, truly need to take heed and take warning to these things. It's not to scare us. This is not being done to scare us, and some people some people just cut the radio off right now. They changed the station. They went to another internet site. They really did, because some people don't want to hear this. This is things that they don't want to hear.
Or they feel is irrelevant.
Yeah, but the thing is that it's going to be irrelevant when you have no water. Then you're going to be wondering, where's the water? And, you know, you're going to be wondering, because everybody else is going to know where the water is, and then you're going to have to stand in line, and then you're going to say to yourself, I wish I had tried to do something to prevent what I'm going through right now.
Yep.
And it's not until, you know, like my father said, and you'll probably hear me say this over and over again, my father said, 3 days after destruction is rained down on the United States of America, he said that 3 days after the destruction ran down, he said, somebody going to say, you know what, we should go plant some food. That's 3 days after the fact.
As a precautionary measure.
But the thing is that you should have been thinking about planting this food a long time ago,
yeah,
as opposed to 3 days after the fact, because now you're going to have to wait at least 60 days, at least 28 days for lettuce. Lettuce can be grown. Lettuce is one of the quickest things that you might be able to grow.
Yeah,
that's in 28 days, 30 days actually, if you're growing it in the ground.
Yeah.
It could be 25 to 26 days if you do it aquaculture style.
Yeah.
So either way, you're in for a couple of days with no food.
Yeah.
So I wanted to let you know that there are water treatment plants that disinfect parasites that are they are intentionally put into drinking water,
mm-hmm,
to help protect humans from diseases caused by organisms such as bacteria and viruses. They add beneficiary parasites that supposedly are supposed to kill off all of the bad parasites that are in the water. There's another way that they are using. That they've been testing and utilizing, the big oil companies have been utilizing this for a minute. Nanotechnology. This nanotechnology that they're using and utilizing is dealing and pertaining with machines on a microscopic level, actually. On the atomic level, what you would call a nanometer. There are different densities and different sizes when you're talking about nanometers. Hundreds, thousands. If I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm, nanos are about the size and equivalent. They're right under a virus.
Yep.
So viruses are bigger than nanotechnology. On a scale, they would have to be seen under an electron magnetoscope.
Right.
The oil companies are utilizing by the trillions these nano to actually ingest and eat the oil,
right,
that was inside the Gulf. These chemicals that they were talking about that were eating away at the oil and the detergent that they used were actually nanomites. It's been tested. There are white papers. You can, you know, nano, if you don't believe what I'm saying to you, you can go and see it for yourself in the nano white pages.
Yeah.
There are things that the government has been utilizing and experimenting with, using this nanotechnology to use the nanos to actually separately, individually take chemicals, parasites, to identify that these animals can actually identify, they're taught to identify good parasites and bad parasites. So they attack bad parasites, any type of toxicity, toxins that are in the water, they eat it up. This is what they're programmed to do. They're actually also in aerosols, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
The aerosol that you spray, wrinkle-free, the wrinkle-free type aerosols, those are actually nanos. Those are nanomites inside the spray that you're spraying on your clothes that become wrinkle-free. It's because it's thanks to the nanos. The nanos are actually, at the subatomic level, they're unwrinkling your pants for you. We don't know about their, you know, inhaling them and, you know, the contamination. We don't know what's going on with that. But, again, you know, I'm pretty sure there was some type of testing. But these are some of the unique ways that the government is trying to help with pesticides and parasites and dirty water and all that. But now, what is to say about the drinking of the nanites? Well, you know what? That'll be another. That should be another topic, and we'll get into that.
Yeah.
If not, no. Well, not next week.
Because nanos are used for so many different things, and it's a kind of technology scientifically that is used on different levels and different mediums. So it's a topic within itself, to be honest with you, environmentally without question.
Yeah, well, yeah, that is something that we definitely will be talking about in some later shows, because believe it or not, we definitely will be talking about, because the Environmental Protection Agency uses nanos,
which is documented.
So they're green, environmental protection. So we're gonna twist into that. Now, this was another question that was asked. What pesticides are commonly found in drinking water? Pesticides that are used in recharge zones may be found in drinking water. For example, drinking water in an agricultural area may contain pesticides that are sprayed on agricultural crops.
Mm-hmm.
Pesticides that contain chemical characteristics such as high water soluble are more likely to be found in drinking water. Pesticides are spilled and misused near a well, they can get into the drinking water, of course. Certain antimicrobial pesticides
mm-hmm.
are common in drinking water that has come from public sources, which we would call municipal water sources. You know, how do you know if pesticides are in your drinking water? If your water, listen, the majority of us, when we drink water, we smell.
Colors.
Some of us smell
dense,
the chlorine.
Yep.
Some of us smell other chemicals. I saw something on YouTube. What I'm going to try to do is next week, I'm going to try to get that information for you. Because, you know, if you're going to say something, you have to prove all things.
Right.
There was in Texas where they were fracking. This woman's water in her house caught on fire as it came out of the pipe. The water caught on fire as it was coming out of her pipe. This was on YouTube. I'm gonna try to find that. This is what we're fracking is another thing, and believe me, we're gonna have shows on fracking for those of you all that don't know about fracking. And we're gonna talk a little bit about that. I might touch slightly on a little bit of that later on in this program. But if you get water from a well, if you own your well, more than one, if you have a house and you have a well, you have to, you know, get in touch with your county health department or the state environmental department,
right,
to inquire, you know, if there's, you know, if there's, if you have pesticides in that well, or if there was any pesticides ever found in that well or in that area in general. If you have a house or if you're going to buy a home somewhere, that's something that is always a precautionary measure for you and your family. Think about that. But, you know, the only real way to know if pesticides are in your drinking water is to have your water tested. That's what it comes down to. Either you're going to pay for it to be tested or you're going to test it yourself, buy it yourself. Can pesticides in drinking water cause health defects? Of course it can. We all know any drug that was not made for human consumption is a threat to humans.
Mm-hmm.
In general, pesticides that are found in drinking water may be harmful to your health, of course. The toxicity of the pesticides and the amount detected determines if your health is affected. So individual pesticides can cause different effects on humans. Varieties exist in the toxicity of pesticides and the sensitivity of people to chemicals,
yeah,
in large amounts. Some pesticides can cause long-term health effects, such as cancer or organ damage.
Right.
This happens when they test, you know, the lab animals. They have given certain lab animals pesticides at high doses that cause reproductive effects in these laboratory animals. But most pesticides will have toxic effects on animals at high levels. Some pesticides are toxic at medium and low levels.
Right.
Pesticides in drinking waters are usually found at very low levels.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why they're found at very low levels to a degree is because they've been diluted.
Right.
But that's not to say, you know, overall, if I'm using a chemical, I'm pretty sure somebody didn't use that same chemical, and when we flush the toilet, maybe we flush the toilet together. Maybe 30,000 people flush the toilet together.
Simultaneously.
At the same time. How much chemicals is going in out of those 30,000 people besides waste from human waste? Right, from human waste, besides the human waste, what else is being flushed down the toilet? If not that 30,000, what about the other 30,000 at 2 minutes after that? I'm pretty sure it has to be, you know, every minute, every 2 minutes, someone's in the bathroom, definitely. So my thing is that the question is not who's in the bathroom, but how many are in the bathroom across the United States at the same time.
Septic-wise?
So, you know, like I said, all of these things are variables and they can be accounted. They're supposed to be accounted without question.
Yep.
You know, and here's the thing with scientists, who, you know, for many pesticides, scientists have determined levels that are not likely to pose health risk.
Right.
I don't know what it is. I just don't trust it.
Right.
I'm kind of like public enemy.
Neither
do I. I just don't trust it to a degree. What do you do if pesticides are found in your drinking water? If pesticides are found in your drinking water above acceptable levels, there's no such thing as above acceptable levels. All the water that we do drink, it has chemicals and it's contaminated to a large degree. But that's unacceptable. Any level of contamination is not acceptable. There has to be something that has to be done. But, you know, I don't want to just show you. I give you this. you know, we're anal retentive. We take our water, we strain it and drain it. We have filters. Okay, I shared that with you. But my thing is that I find myself looking out and wanting to look out and wanting to be there for my family.
Right.
So I have to take
priority.
I have to make a checklist of things that are not going to keep me here for my family. All of the bad things that I have to make a checklist of them, and I have to get them out of my life. And pesticides in my water, I have to get that out of my life. You have to start small.
Mm-hmm.
You start small, and then you grow from there. Now, I have to ask, let's see, drinking water contaminated with pesticides can be treated by a local water treatment facility to remove most of the pesticides. Activated carbon and reverse osmosis filters can be effective in removing pesticides from water. This is true to a vast degree, but the thing is that, you know, I don't know. We use and we deal with activated carbon, and we also deal with reverse osmosis.
Mm-hmm.
Reverse osmosis, on one hand, is a really good way. Reverse osmosis actually used correctly, you can actually take seawater and make it into pure drinkable
water.
So what they call the membranes that they use for reverse osmosis are very tiny.
Microscopic.
Yeah, they're damn near microscopic. And these membranes are, this is what catches the salt, and it's a little thing that it does. But actually, reverse osmosis is a very good way of getting rid of the pesticides, the heavy metals, and the toxins. But there are other ways, other things that can be utilized and done to actually make sure that these chemicals will not reach us like that. Who is to say, I cannot say, with the water treatment plant, how they maneuver and how they operate. You know, I think what I'm going to do, since we're talking about it, I'm thinking to make a trip to our closest water treatment facility just to see.
Good idea.
You know, just to see how those membranes, you know, because I know for a fact membranes on reverse osmosis systems can go bad.
Mm-hmm.
And once they go bad, things that they have to be changed. These membranes are very, very expensive,
mm-hmm,
to a large degree. But I'm pretty sure that if companies are, you know, water treatment facilities are using them and they're buying them in bulk, it's probably pennies on the dollar to a large degree. But the thing is to find out how often are these membranes changed and cleaned? Or are they just changed and cleaned, or are they just changed and thrown away for other membranes to be added? This is a good idea. Like I said, I'll have a report back to you soon, because I know if anything is, you know, you just can't walk up into the water treatment plant and say, "Hey, well, I want to see what you're doing in there. How you doing it?" So be on the lookout for that. There are, I would say, the maximum contamination level for the United States Environmental Protection Agency. They've set specific maximum levels for certain pesticides that are allowed in drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they say that these levels are based on scientific data from long-term animal studies that have an additional safety factor built in. By drinking water that contains pesticides at less than for human consumption, they're not expected to be at a higher risk of health problems.
Right.
The EPA has also established health advisory levels for many pesticides. But see, HA, they're not, actually, they're non-enforceable guideline levels for contaminations that are in place until it is determined there's no need to establish. Listen, rhetoric and bullshit. That's only, can you say that in two new words a day, rhetoric and bullshit. Listen to me. I have to say this. We are living in a time where everything is questionable. Mm-hmm. You should be asking questions. And who cares if you're asking too many questions and people are getting upset? Once I ask a question and you start to get upset, I know I am on the right track to some shit. The right track is that I'm asking you a question and you're getting upset.
Right.
Just because I'm asking you a question, I need to go a little bit further and find out what's going on, because you should not be giving me an attitude for asking questions.
That's right.
You know, so anytime you ask a question, the person, you have a perception that this person is having, getting a catchy good attitude, there's something wrong. There's something dead wrong. There's something dead wrong to a large degree. So, what is being done about the pesticides in our drinking water? What steps have been taken? The steps that supposedly have been taken is, you know, there's several governmental agencies, including, you know, the U.S., the EPA, Office of Water, the U.S. Geological Survey,
mm-hmm.
state environmental departments, local city, county agencies. They monitor drinking water.
Right.
Drinking water is not tested in all areas.
Right.
I've said that to you before.
Not
and,
in this country, no.
And it really is true.
Yep.
In all areas, drinking water is not that in all areas of the United States. Pesticide levels detected in water samples are compared to acceptable levels. If the pesticides are found at higher levels than acceptable levels, then agencies take action to correct the problem or notify affected citizens. There's, you know, I told you about that story about the woman in Texas, her house, they were doing some type of fracking, and her house, her water, fire shot out of her water, the water that was coming out of
fire. Not even water anymore, fire.
It was just pure water. But part of, you know what, like I said, that's part of fracking is something that we will discuss.
That's a whole show right
there. Yeah, that's a whole other lengthy show. But, you know, there's also a thing where, you know, like I was talking to you before about the presence of prescription drugs in our water system. So, you know, I don't know. It's like the presence.
There's dumping in the
yeah,
water.
Yeah, they are. But the presence of pharmaceuticals in our waterways and the drinking water, it's gained national attention amongst lawmakers and regulators, and the public prescription drugs. They're entering the water through manufactured waste, you know, human, animal, runoff from animal feed operations, leaching from the municipal landfills, or improper disposal. With a lot of our questions is still unanswered, you know, regarding the scope of the problem and its consequences for human health and the environment. You know, there's a lot of scientific data and legal analyzation and existing advocacy and campaigns around this issue, based on a lot of the findings mm-hmm. that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that are offering, you know, recommendations related to drug design, approval, production,
mm-hmm.
use and disposal. This is supposedly to curb the flow of
right.
the pharmaceuticals entering our waterways and lessening the impact of the pollution that they cause. So, in about 2008, the Associated Press, they reported that pharmaceutical residues had been detected in the drinking water of 24 major metropolitan areas across the country, servicing 41 million people. It detected drugs including antibiotics, mood stabilizers, PBCs, and these particular samples were taken from 139 streams in 30 states. This was during the course of 1999 and 2000. But you know what? What we're gonna do is we're gonna take a little break.
We're gonna come back to that.
But we're gonna take a little break and let you marinate, marinate all of these things that we just said. And we're gonna come back and we're gonna hit you with the real on It's Real Talk and More.
Green Talk Live and More.
Yeah. About to put it to them. Some ghetto slick shit. Check it out. One time for your motherfucker. Yo, I'm saying they gonna smell me on this one, nigga. No doubt.
Be the kind of brother that thought I would never slow down. I used to swear that I don't even care what happens, but baby, right now, you changed my mind. And it took some time, but now I understand I can be a better man. I never had a chance to meet a lover quite like you. You revealed another part in me, girl, your love is tried and true.
Never
will I break your heart.
Never
will we ever part.
Never
can't believe I used to say it. I used to say
never
what I love this way.
Never
give my heart away. Never would this player hang his jersey up and leave the game. Never would have thought in a million years I would be here. That's why I say
never
what I know the truth.
Never
when I know that you would come into my life and make everything new. Oh, never would have thought I would take your hand. Girl, I swear I would never, 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 never say never again. Again. Baby. There ain't no question that I love you. I know we've had our ups and downs, but through the tears I know there is nowhere I can say I'd rather be now. You're my shining star, cause you got my heart and now I hold your hand, cause you made me a stronger man. I wish that I could place the whole world in front of you, but a man is just a man, so baby, here's my vow to you, babe.
Never
will I break your heart.
Never
will we ever part.
Never
can't believe I used to say it. I used to say
never
would I love this way.
Never
give my heart away.
Never
would this player hang his jersey up and leave the game. Never would have thought in a million years I would be here. And that's why I say
never
had I known the truth.
Never
when I know that you would come into my life and make everything new. Oh, never would have thought I would take your hand. Girl, I swear I would never, 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 never say never. From the day you came along, I sung a brand new song. That you're a special part of me. Before I had no clue, I was lost till I found you, baby.
I know that girl, it's gonna be hard for me to run with him. that we be up in them hotel suites. Baby, this is crazy. You don't tell nobody, and I won't tell nobody. Baby, we can keep it on the hush. He is just a step too close to me. This is not supposed to be, but I can't keep you away from me. Sometimes I wish that this had never, ever happened. I'm so glad that it's happening. I just don't know what to do. Girl, I'm so caught up with you. Should've never ever started. Gotta get them up out your closet, baby. You don't tell nobody. I won't tell nobody.
Just like a bird, I just wanna fly free, and own a piece of land, somewhere up in a country. Oh,
listen.
Temperatures like 100 degrees. Like I got chains for me. Black mail in the family of three. Been proud of my destiny. Reckon I'll fly away, cause it's too much for the man. Shouldn't have gone down this way. What happened to my master plan? Cause I can't figure out, I could have been a love child. Shouldn't have gone down this way. Tell me, how did I get lost? Oh, yeah. Talk to me. Oh, how did I get lost? Tell me, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
and more with the chefs, and we're back.
Well, I wanted to chime into what Chef Moses was talking about in the first hour about different parts of the country taking the water crisis more seriously than others. From what we understand from our research, that all states don't follow the same guidelines and rules. They are, you know, they have their own jurisdiction and how they see fit as far as, you know, dealing with the water supply and the treatment of water. state per se, I wanted to bring this article out from Slate.com. Now, Slate.com is a news online website that deals with the environment and different storylines about what's going on with the environment and science and health and how that all ties into each other. The title of it is How Safe Is Your Drinking Water by James Salzman. And the area around Charleston, West Virginia, now this is about West Virginia, has been brought to its knees by contaminated water. And this was a recent article from January 16th of this year. Thousands of gallons of an industrial chemical used for treating coal.
Four days ago.
Yeah. MCHM leaked last week from a company's steel tank, flowed down the bank and into the Elk River, located just a mile upriver from the intake point for the region's drinking water treatment plant. Residents quickly noticed the licorice smell and a few hours later were officially warned not to drink or cook, wash, or bathe with the water. A state of emergency was declared in nine counties in West Virginia. Schools, hospitals, restaurants, hotels, and more were closed. About 300,000 residents were affected. We take the quality of our drinking water for granted, and for good reason. More people in the United States have access to safe water than ever before, yet recent events raise an obvious concern. How safe is our drinking water, really? So the thing is, you know, every state is different, and every, you know, it's just sad. I wish that all parts of the United States would be on the same page with water safety and their positions on water safety, but it's, you know, politics, lobbying, economics, all that stuff that takes play more so than people's lives to a large degree. And, you know, people are getting tired of all this stuff. Totally. But this question is both timely and timeless, for water providers have constantly defended water sources against contamination. From well before the Romans to today, they have always faced three broad classes of threats. Now, the first comes from natural contaminants, like Chef Moses was saying, pathogens we expect to find in water, despite images of clear, burbling springs and mountain streams. The simple fact is that fresh water is just not very clean. Seeming parasites, viruses, and bacteria live in water. Just 100 years ago, dying from waterborne typhoid or cholera was commonplace in the United States, and deadly epidemics still break out in some parts of the world today, which is true. The battle rages on all over the world. It's not just in this country, but all over the world, especially in third world countries such as Haiti, such as Brazil, such as the Dominican Republic, such as India, and places similar to that that are having a difficult time dealing with that. So it's imperative that, you know, we take a stand as people that are living and want to keep living to take it seriously and to watch, you know, these corporations and how they handle, you know, these things, you know, because it's not cohesive, it's not conducive. The addition of chlorine to water supplies a century ago largely eliminated these scourges. We have since become very good at eliminating biological pathogens with colonization, ionization, ultraviolet radiation, and filtration as redundant lines of defense. Now, like I said, these are mediums that are being used to circumvent water safety. However, each state in this country does it the way they want to do it and at their own discretion. So it's a lot of stuff, and this is just in West Virginia. This is not too long ago that this article came out.
4 days ago.
And, you know, it's just, you know, this is food for thought incongruent with what Chef Moses was saying in the first hour.
So back to what I was saying before the break. I was saying to you before that there were samples taken from 139 streams in 30 different states. And this was done from 1999 to 2000. And this was done by the U.S. Geological Survey. They identify both organic wastewater contaminants and pharmaceuticals. And 80% of the sample sites, 80% of the sample sites out of the 30 states, percent of the sample sites had contamination from pharmaceuticals. The range of the drugs that were found in the water, it included antibiotics, hypertension-type drugs, cholesterol-lowering drugs, antiperspirants, steroids, caffeine, and reproductive hormones. Now, despite these alarming findings, little or nothing, you know, has been done to evaluate the potential long-term effects on human health caused by exposure to low levels of pharmaceuticals. Now, again, 80% of the sampled sites, the range of drugs that was found in the water included antibiotics, hypertension drugs, cholesterol-lowering drugs, antiperspirants, all types of allergens, steroids, caffeine, and reproductive hormones. So
take it seriously, guys.
Yeah, take it seriously. Do research. Now, you know, if your little daughter starts talking like Herman the Munster, then you know why, because she got some reproductive hormones in her. So, I mean, these are all, you know, it was a little joke, but it's so sad that we have gotten to the point where it seems like America doesn't care, people in America don't care, and the things that we do care about are not worth the back of a rat's ass. It really, truly isn't. A lot of the things that we really care about are not things that we should be caring about. We should be really caring about other things, you know. And, of course, everybody will, who's to say what's the priority? The priority, if it's not good for your family, it's not good for my family or your family. So
right.
That's the priority. It's simple. You know, but everything in America has gotten to the point where everything is goddamn debatable. Everything.
Life and death is debatable.
You know, I'm sitting here debating with you why we shouldn't use it, and you're going to debate with me what were the good uses. What were the good reasons for it? You know, perfect example. Had a debate with somebody about the nuclear energy, and, you know, this guy was talking about how, well, you know, nuclear energy, it's good. It was invented by us, and, you know, listen, without nuclear energy, we'd be burning a lot more fossil fuels. And, you know, this was his argument. It went on a little bit more. He had some things that he was saying. But in all actuality, I'm going to show you how our train of thought has just left us to a large degree. After all of these things that he was talking about, nuclear subs, this, that, and the other, fusion and all these things, after he said all of these things, I said to him, I reminded him, well, what about the nuclear waste from it all? The nuclear waste? I said, yeah, the nuclear waste from it all. Ah. He said, listen, man. He said, that's a small price to pay for all of this electricity and stuff we're getting. I said, oh, it's a small price to pay, huh? Okay. So, now, mind you, Oppenheimer was the man. When Oppenheimer developed what he developed, and see, I'm saying he developed what he developed because I want you to go behind me and check. A lot of people know what Oppenheimer invented. But the thing is that there was waste that was being put under the sea and barrels. I mean, millions of tonnage of nuclear waste that was put into containers and dropped to the bottom of the ocean. Now, you know how many of these containers have been rotted and corroded and ate out because of the seawater and being down in the sea and all of the radioactive waste that has floated and infiltrated our water in the sea. So my whole thing is, what's so good about nuclear? There's nothing really good about nuclear reactors and nuclear fusion and all of these things. There's nothing good from it because there's the waste cannot be getting rid of. So if the waste cannot be getting rid of, what the hell are you doing using nuclear power? It's feasible, apparently, but the thing is that, you know, it's costing us our lives in the earth.
In the process
of all of this. And then you got folks that are hiding it in caves and tunnels. They're digging out the earth and they're, you know, hundreds of thousands, believe it or not, miles. I'm talking about acres and miles that go on. Underground storage facilities that the government is, that they have, that they've been taking these nuclear waste and they've been storing it there. So you have to know some of this shit is seeping into the ground, into the water table, and all of these things. So, you know, that's part of some of the things that are in our water table besides the nuclear waste. Pharmaceuticals, I think the presence of pharmaceuticals in our water rises issues beyond concern about their potential impact on human health. The threats posed to the wildlife, the ecosystem, should be of equal or higher concern because of the continuous nature of the exposure. Human exposure through drinking water is nothing compared to the wildlife living in the contaminated waters. The monitoring has been identified. They've identified a host of pharmaceuticals that are present in some ecosystems at levels that are likely to be harmful to aquatic organisms as the individuals and population level. Low levels of exposure to certain pharmaceuticals can have serious consequences as shown by recent discoveries that endangered vultures in Asia have been dying from eating cattle contaminated relatively low concentrates of drugs. Dilacidin. Now, these are permanent. They've developed abnormalities because of this drug. And it actually has been suspected from low-level exposures in other species and with mounting evidence that the contamination of the waterways is causing intersex fish in the nation's river and the drinking water sources. So, you know, this is really prevalent. And it's not just in our country. This particular piece is just in Asia. But you have to remember, in this part of Asia, in the United States, you know, we have a very good water treatment facilities here in the United States. I really truly believe that we have to be vigilant. We cannot leave it up to other people to be vigilant for us. And what's so sad is that we innately, every single man, woman, and child, young adult, within the sound of my voice, knows exactly what I'm talking about. We all innately know
it's overwhelming sometimes, man, just to, you know, not only decipher the information, but then to share it with a lot of people. And, you know, our supporters are growing even more so every time we're on the show. And people are really trying to understand what the heck is going on. And, you know, we try to explain it as simply as we can, despite the scientific information and research that, you know, we've done on these topics to make it accessible to the public even more so. You know, it's overwhelming.
But I'm just, you know, it is, but it's not just, it's not that it's over. It's not, I'm past the overwhelming aspect of things. It's just that it seems like even though, you know, we're on the radio and we're talking to our audience, the thing is that I'm kind of peeved, you
yeah.
know, that this whole thing is going on, and it's like, you know what I feel like? I feel like I'm sitting at the table with the whole world,
mm-hmm.
and we're all sitting down eating, and nobody sees the roach that's crawling up the wall.
Everybody like that.
They act like they don't see it. And I'm like the only one in the room. I feel like sometimes I'm the only one. And I know that's not true, but it's so, we're so far and wide. But I feel like I'm sitting at this table, and I'm the only person that sees this roach crawling up the wall. But I do see some people taking a peek at the roach, but nobody wants to say that there's a roach on the wall.
Because they like the host.
Because they like the host, huh? All right, okay. Host and that. Host going to get blasted. We're going to put them on green blast. We're going to put them on green blast. But that's how I feel. I really, truly feel like, you know, and when the roach stopped, he's observing. He's like, well, oh, everybody looking at me. I'm like, yeah, I see you on the wall. But I'm the person in the middle of the dinner. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to kill the roach on the wall. I don't know.
That's chef.
Call me crazy, and I'm not going to do it with my hands. I'm going to do it, you know, really clean. But I'm just saying, that's just me. That's just how I am. Sin, like, I don't see something that's going on. And
a lot of people are
like that, and a lot of people don't want to say nothing and don't want to cause waves. But there comes a time in your life where you have to say, yo, you know what? I don't care who's listening. I don't care who's looking. This shit can't go on no more because it's affecting not only me, but it's affecting my kids.
And
so then, what are we all gonna do? You know, so everybody knows something ain't right and something's wrong. What are you gonna do? Are you gonna wait until you have to be issued gas masks and can't breathe oxygen no more? Then you have to go into some type of concentration camp. Is that what you want? Then when you're in the concentration camp, now you want to think about, oh, I don't know, maybe we should rebel. Listen to me very closely. If you are not thinking about it now, you will never think about it. If you are going to act as sheeple, you shall be treated as such.
It's like that. That's how
you shall be treated as such. This information, there's so many internet radio talk shows. There's so much news. There's YouTube. There's Facebook. There's so many people putting so much information out there. And all we do is what purpose is to put the information out there if you're just going to sit on your ass and, you know, really don't give a damn and not take heed? But then, you know, when something really serious starts to happen, then that's when you're going to take heed to something. But the thing is that's our problem here in the United States. We've gotten fat. We've gotten lazy.
We're overly
entertained by insignificant shit. You hear what I'm saying to you? That's what we're overly entertained.
Drowned out.
And we have so much entertainment that
It's too much. Not only is it too much, but it seems like the news is entertaining. So everything is entertaining. We have become fat slobs in the global mess of fat slobs that let me see. There was just something in the paper. There was just something on Facebook yesterday talking about how all of the senators was talking about how the money is worthless. Now listen to me very closely. That green talking more. We talk about
this
money.
This is the more part.
This is the green more part right here. The money is not, it has no value. But my whole thing is, this is a Republican cat. He had to know that the money a long time ago, when they moved all of the gold out of Fort Knox, because the gold that was in Fort Knox was supposed to back all of the money that the government was actually printing. But there is no gold any longer in Fort Knox, and it is a museum. So now, we all knew, I knew this because my father used to talk about this, about the fiat money and all of that. So my whole thing is that now, why is it that they are coming out telling you that the money is no value? The only value it has is in people's mind because there's no gold backing money. So, but this is what they're putting out there. These are the things that they're putting out there. They want everybody to jump. They want everybody to blink. Get ready for this cashless society. But I said all of that to bring it back because it's green talk and more. People are too subdued. That's why the Senate came out, you know, the way they did to, like, shake people up because people are just too subdued. But, you know, the corporations that run this country create that kind of subdued atmosphere, and it's too subdued. So now they have to, I guess they feel like they have to really start coming out and conceding to certain things, especially with money, with the money system, especially with what's going on with the water supply, the environment, because all those things tie into each other, agriculture, anything that's part of living till you pass on from this world, you know. Bernanke is the devil. That's all I'm going to say. You know, way before Bernanke even came into the picture, you know, the system, the monetary system, it was what it was. But, like I said, it goes back. I said all of that stuff because it comes back to us being subdued as people.
Yep.
We have to take the reins. We have to take the reins, and we have to let people know that we are no longer, we're not going to tolerate the things that are going down and the things that are happening to us. You know, so these are some of the things that, you know, I see happening for the future. It can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really truly can. It's the only thing is that we have to be together. We have to start dialogue. We have to start talking. You know, all right, back to the pharmaceuticals. You know, but the presence of pharmaceuticals in our waterways, it you know, like I told you, it raises a lot of concern in environmental, the aquatic organisms, all of these things. But we have to. There are many paths for pharmaceuticals to reach our water system, with some releases being internal, and as much as being outsurnal from other sources that I was telling you about before earlier. You know, much of the identified waste streams from agriculture and human, it's improper disposal of drugs, household chemicals, medical facilities, and all of these things. A major portion of the pharmaceuticals in our drinking waters are extracts from animal and large animal feeding operations where they have antibiotics, hormones are regularly administered
to prevent infection or to promote growth. The estimated suggestions are nearly about 2 trillion pounds of animal waste that are produced annually in the United States, and between 25% to 75% of the antibiotics are extracted unchanged in the feces, and it can be detrimental to the environment. Subsequently, there are large amounts of antibiotics and potential antibiotic-resistant bacteria that are entering the waterways and the groundwater through overflow of waste, lagoons, and by other applications of manure, fertilizer in the farm fields. Hormones extracted by animals can be incident to the environment and alter the reproductive development of aquatic species such as fish. Because of our toilet tap system, that's what it is. It's us as humans, we're killing ourselves. The pharmaceutical, it is a very vicious cycle. The pharmaceutical companies are killing us without question, unequivocally. That's my father used to say, you, your worst enemy. You are your worst enemy. And in this sense, the American people are their worst enemy. You're being helped out now. Don't get me wrong. The government helping you out, lovely. But we are doing this to ourselves to a large degree. And the thing is that we need to, take control and realize exactly what the hell is going on. We won't exactly know what the hell is going on because we don't know what the hell a lot of us don't know what the hell we're doing. We don't think that we are a cause to the problem, but everyone is a cause to this problem.
Psychologically, environmentally,
right.
Absolutely.
But that's why, again, I say that the United States of America is a third world country because we used to be Industrial Revolution and all these things, and everybody looked up to America and all of that. But, America don't even have jobs no more. All the jobs went overseas. All of the companies went overseas. Listen, a computer part, I'm going straight to India. I am talking to someone in India.
Exactly.
Now, if that don't tell you nothing, I know what it tells me. It tells me that America has gotten fat. It tells me that America has gotten to the point where we want everybody else to do everything else for us.
Exactly.
And it does not work like that.
And not self-sustaining.
And not self-sustaining.
As American.
We were self-sustaining. We were taught to be self-sustaining. We were taught, some of us was taught to be self-sustaining because we ain't had no choice. But I'm saying to you, America, we were raised on, new ideas and new inventions and ways of doing things. We got fat and lazy and let everybody else in the world take over and let them do it because I guess we got tired. And now this is the consequence.
It's not just being tired. America, a lot of people are spoiled. And everything is done for them. And that's where that comes from, too. Everything in America right now is service-oriented.
Right.
So
yeah, but
that's where that comes from, too.
It's kind of difficult to calculate, like I was saying to you, about the 30,000 people flushing at one time. How much of those 30,000 people, put something that was a chemical related into the bowl. So, it's difficult to calculate. Let's put it this way. I'm gonna take you another place. Let's talk about the most frequently detected drugs that are in the environment. that are not necessarily those that are most frequently prescribed. But it does indicate that some of the drugs are more resistant to breakdown in the body or in the environment. And they may have more they might be more problematic. For an example, 80 to 90% of the antibiotic amoxicillin. I know I'm pretty sure everybody's familiar with amoxicillin. Amoxicillin is that whitish, creamy, thick antibiotic that tastes really good, really sweet and really sugary.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I remember that because I used to keep my daughter amoxicillin.
Yeah.
She had actually that was for her ear infection.
Mm-hmm.
This is in our water system. They have also found about 3% of anti-epileptic drugs, anti-seizure prevention medication, that's what that is. So anyone, if you're not familiar with seizure medication, there are different types of seizure medications. There is called Dilantin, and there is one called Tegretol.
Mm.
And these two, now check this out, these two medications are used for seizure, people that have epilepsy, that have seizures.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is, believe it or not, just to give you an example of these two particular drugs, their side effects
mm-hmm.
are they will rot your teeth out. This is something that I know for a fact. No, my teeth are not rotten out. but Dilantin and Tegretol rots your teeth out, and they leave a heavy metallic metal taste inside your mouth. Those are the side effects. So now, if this drug is present in the water system, which is and they measured this at 3%. Now, my whole thing is like, these are the numbers, but who is measuring this? And of course, there's someone that's actually at the plant that actually has to be measuring this, though. But I mean, 3% to even say that's a lot of depressive, that the suppressed seizures, that is a lot. And like I said, the pharmaceutical manufacturers and off-label prescriptions greatly increase the unnecessary use of pharmaceuticals in this country. It's at an exacerbating an amount of these chemicals are actually contaminating the environment, and it's causing a very big problem. Now, most households practice bad disposal habits. A large portion of the pharmaceuticals in our waterways come from improper disposal. One of the many different ways from the improper disposal of unused or unwanted drugs, by households and medical facilities. It's not just people that say, oh, I don't feel like taking this drug today. There are people in the hospital that are dropping drugs right into the toilet. Medical facilities that are dropping drugs into the toilet.
The guys in the chat room, hello, how are you? Come on the air and, voice your opinions, questions, concerns about the show. Let us know what you think.
Everybody that's in the chat room, I'm shouting you out. Chef Moses is shouting you out. Don't be scared. Just come on, pick up your phone, give us a call, and and interact with us. You know, just don't.
There's two ways. You can come live to us to talk, or you can go in the chat room where you are right now and post a question, and the producer will forward it to us to answer.
The number is?
It's 347-838-9495. Let me repeat it again. 347-838-9540.
And again, it's good that we have people, a lot of people in the chat room, but, you know, like I said, get access some questions. Get your thoughts on the air. This is about you all. Even though we're here hosting it, we could not be doing this if we didn't have listeners. And y'all support.
That's the number one.
And we do have a lot of listeners, but, you know, sometimes it's good for some of those listeners to interact. Back to what I was saying, a lot of the medical facilities, they actually take the medication, older medication and things like that, they flush them down the toilet. They throw them in the trash. And if you throw medication in the trash, eventually it's like once it gets wet, it seeps. It'll break down into the ground. And just imagine, if there's not one bag of garbage that has just one bottle of prescription medicine in it, there's a whole lot of unused prescription medication in landfills.
Yep.
So what's so sad is that, believe it or not, there's some prescription drugs that are in the landfill right now that are still in bottles. The bottles haven't deteriorated. But the contents inside those bottles, they're breaking down.
Yep.
So that when that bottle gets crushed by the weight of whatever, mm-hmm. then it's going to be exposed to the elements,
water,
then it goes down and seeps down and seeps down, and then we got a new set of problems.
It's the seepage that's the most dangerous thing, because it lingers and it infiltrates wherever it can infiltrate to break down.
Well, it infiltrates of a water table.
Yeah.
The water that is actually inside the ground
in its natural form.
And it's just waiting to be either tapped or poisoned. So, you know, listen.
It's like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. But the number one thing is the information and what you do about it. What I would suggest people do, like Chef said, monitor the water systems in your area. Go visit the facilities if you can, if it's legal. Some places it's legal to visit, and other places it isn't. What I understand, New York, you can visit, but there's certain parts of the country still that don't let you visit, and it's illegal. So find out how you can get more involved with your water facilities. Get your personal water, your
tester.
Water tester. Get your own water in your house. Get it tested. If you don't want to pay, I think you have to pay for it.
And oh yeah, get a Geiger counter too.
Yeah, and get a Geiger counter as well, and test your own water. Make sure it's as healthy as it possibly could be, and also filter your water and boil your water when you can.
The Geiger counter is not for that. The Geiger counter is to actually test for radiation in your
water. Right.
That's
another problem.
That's another,
there's high levels of radiation in certain parts of the country. The water does have radiation. It's been documented through the EPA. I know they don't like to really talk about it, but, it's not about exposing anything. I mean, these things are documented. Everything that we have discussed on Green Talk Live and more have been documented, and we've done our research, and we always make sure that, we have the facts, and we have the people who brought those facts out. And all we're doing as Green Talk Live and more is sharing that with the public. Because information is power.
This is true. Now, I'm going to say this to people that most people that don't know. The best method of disposal is to take it back. But, if you take it back, they're going to throw it down the toilet anyway. But they're supposed to dispose of it in a certain way. But the program in which drugs are returned to an authority and disposed of properly, it's actually not commonly available, but I would suggest medication back to the doctor, or, you know, that's what I suggest to you. But
right.
But in 2006, a survey of pharmaceutical customers in Tacoma, Washington, more than half of the respondents reported storing prescription drugs in their homes. 54% of them said they flushed it down the toilet. 35% of them said they put it in the sink. Now, a survey in Southern California residents, a similar trend was found, but with 45% disposing of their pharmaceuticals in the trash, 28% of them disposing them down the toilet or sink, and a random survey in King County, Washington, showed that 52% of respondents disposed of their pharmaceuticals in the trash, 20% flushed it down the toilet or sink, and 1% returned them to the pharmacy or doctor. That's the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what we're finding out too is that the medical facilities are the biggest polluters. They pollute more than households because you know the hospitals deal with many unused prescriptions, but not all of are disposed and unused. They're not used properly. They're not disposed of and used properly. A significant barrier to ensure the response disposal is that few medical professionals, including doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and administrators, are educated about the issue. There is little, if any, teaching of proper disposal of pharmaceuticals
right.
or legal requirements in medical, dental, nursing, pharmacies, veterinarian schools, all of that. In addition to hospitals, long-term care facilities, and other institutions also deal with large quantities of unused pharmaceuticals. For example, nursing home residents are often transit, and to avoid liability issues, most facilities will not transfer medications with the residents. The protocol for most of these types of facilities is to flush every large quantity of unused medication. This is the protocol. This is the protocol. I wanted to, you know, hit you with that because, you know, we were talking about it earlier, and I was telling you that the hospitals, they flush them down the system. This is what they do, you know, and you know,
they don't even think about the aftermath and the ramifications.
No, they don't.
Doing that.
But now these are health professionals. But see, this is how complacent we are as health you know, as people and as a health professional that is flushing some medication down the drain that is going to wind up in your drinking water. So this tells you just how complacent the doctors are. But this is America. This is America. Welcome. There is little information about the extent to which these facilities or groups contribute to the problem, but this is part of their protocol. The realization is that it is part of their protocol, but you don't know to the extent. But I'm going to say this to you. If I had no morals and scruples, no, let's say this. Let's say I'm human.
Right.
That's perfect.
Okay.
Let's say I'm a human. There are different types of human beings. There are human beings that would not throw large quantities or flush large quantities
mm-hmm.
of drugs down the toilet. They wouldn't do that because these people innately know, without a PhD, that these drugs are going to get into contaminate the drinking water that we drink from.
Right.
So now these healthcare professionals, they should be thinking about the same thing.
And pharmaceutical companies,
they should be, but they're not. So
We have to think about it.
So the thing is to try to change our habits so that we can help. That's about, I'm going to let Chef go. You go.
Well, we're ending our show. I hope that you guys got all the information that you can get from the show. And to contact Culinary Kids, you can contact us at on Facebook at Culinary Kids Daycare. And that's on Facebook and on Twitter. It's at @culinary_kids.
And if you want to reach out to us to email us, the email is culinarykidscsa. That's culinarykidscsa at yahoo.com.
And our website is www.culinarykidsdaycamp.org. That's www.culinarykidsdaycamp.org. On the website, you can see all the programs that we provide to the community that we serve in New York City and the extensiveness of what we provide. And Green Talk Live and More is an extension of culinary. On Real Talk Live with the Chef, I'm Chef Rivera.
And I'm Chef Moses. Have a good night.
Take it easy.